You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
So how come you didn't see us, Ab? You don't check your 9/11 channels?
This software, I guess, doesn't show people in other channels. I find it used to. Something changed on it. So no, I don't. I didn't realize that's why people go in every channel.
But Tom, he found us by being in the lobby and clicking the channel. And Tom, did you see us in channel 9 before you clicked on it, or?
It was easy. Whatever I did, it was straight in my face. I just came where I normally do, and there you were.
Yeah,
the mobile app doesn't show the other channel.
That's a paid app, isn't it, Ab? $1.99 or whatever?
Yeah, it's $1.99, but I thought it used to, but maybe it never did, because I used to be able to see if people were on other channels. I have a setting I'm missing. Sorry to interrupt the flow, guys. Carry on like I'm not here.
Well, I think, you know, you make a good point, O'Hallahan. I mean, we identify what you're saying. In a way, the human race is spinning. They've got to spin because they've got to spin around the sun. You're absolutely right. It's madness, isn't it? It is spinning,
but at the same time, as you say, O'Hallahan, that we are now going in the completely wrong direction. I think business, or as it always has been, I think it's no different from before. And I think that to be alarmist is not the right attitude to have, in the sense that nothing has changed so much. What's changing is the technology and the current memes that they use to have us in the same position.
Yep, I think I really agree with that, yes.
Hey, let me interrupt here. Ab, I'm getting messages from O'Hallahan, says he needs permission to speak.
Yeah, sorry, I'll fix that.
Permission to speak, sir.
Maybe he changed computers.
One, two.
He might have
One,
changed
two, three.
Computers because he... Yeah, you're
guys,
good.
Did you change computers, O'Hallahan? Because you had permission before.
No, I got some kind of Linux TeamSpeak update, and it probably just reset everything. I use Linux. I don't use the Windows operating system, and I got some kind of update that seemed to have reset everything. So yeah,
that's
anyway.
Strange. Yeah, TeamSpeak updated this week, by the way. It shouldn't have affected your permission. Oh well.
Yeah. No idea why. But, yeah, that was actually we were getting into something really interesting. And Farce, yeah, I thought that example of the Phil Donahue show, you know, where the guys 40 years ago were talking about, you know, saving ammo and saving MREs and hiding in caves and all that, I thought that was totally appropriate. And the reason it was is because in my opinion, that was exactly my point, is that we are spinning around in circles. We know more things, you know, because of the internet and because of the things that us in this group and people that listen to Fakeologists read and listen to, we know more things, which is great. But we're not making any progress. Like, we're not going anywhere with that information. You know, we're doing the same dumb shit that we were doing 40 years ago, and that's stacking up on MREs and buying ammo and living in caves, you know, or at least thinking about it.
I don't agree with that myself. I don't feel like we are survivalists here on the Fakeologist, and I don't think that's the message that the most advanced alternative media researchers are promoting either. I think the message that Ab is trying more to put out is the fact that we can take it a bit more easy and not believe everything that we hear to get alarmed and scared.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that we shouldn't be frightened about it. And actually, that is one of the great things about
Fake Ologists. Well, Alan, your message now is a little bit to say that we should be frightened, you know, because you're saying we are going nowhere, humanity is in a bad place and everything. I don't agree with that.
Train running off the cliff, I think, was the analogy.
Yeah.
I don't believe so at all.
I don't know. I think the fakery
train is running off the tracks. It's near the end of the line, I think.
Yeah, they'll just invent another track and they'll jump onto it.
I think the NASA
train is running off the rails, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's possible.
I think there are some realities that we need to deal with. You know, I mean, like one of the realities that we need to deal with is that the Ponzi scheme that we've been handed with this paper fiat currency is coming to an end. I mean, the lives that we're living. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really living the same day over and over and over again, like Groundhog Day. You know, I mean, I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come back, and
but don't you,
you
think
know,
it's
I eat dinner,
good
and I
to
go to
be
bed.
Able to discover what world we really live in and to be able to share that with other like-minded people. I can't understand how you see your day as being the same every day. I feel like I'm learning new things every day, and that keeps me interested in the life I live and also to be able to communicate that to others, which I'm part of today.
I got to tell you, thank God for you, Unreal, because I'm learning just like you are, but it's depressing me. You know, I'm not frightened. I mean, I'm depressed. You know,
you sound disillusioned.
And that's actually the perfect word for it. Disillusionment is a perfect word for how I feel.
You feel isolated?
I think that's normal to be disillusioned when you come over a lot of new facts in a short period of time. And I think that when you stop listening to Giuliani and Dennis Spinola, you will start to feel better because they are obvious gatekeepers. And I think you should spend less time with those people and check in with Hoaxbuster and Fakeologist. I think those are the best places right now.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of what you guys are talking about is the blissful ignorance angle? You know, I mean, just saying something is fake is not enough. I mean, you know, I realize, just like you guys realize, that a lot of the stuff out there is fake, but a lot of it is not.
We're all blissfully ignorant, aren't we? If we think we're not ignorant, of course, we all know we're fools here because we don't really know the truth. Who does? We just don't. But you're better off not believing the other stuff. And once you disbelieve that, then you can start really trying to live. And it's fantastic. It's wonderful, Halan, really. You can get in touch with your real self, you know, the real human attributes that Unreal was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not expressing myself brilliantly, but it's,
No, I have sympathy for what you're saying, Dal. I really, I listen to Ab. And Ab has changed my thinking on many things. I mean, just for an example, the issue of nukes, you know, just making me question the reality of whether they actually exist or not is a good thing. You know, because you want to be motivated to go and do your own research. And so that's a good thing. But my problem with Fakeologists and my problem with Ab sometimes is that I think we go too far, you know, just nixing things off like, GMOs don't really exist, you know. I mean, last month, Ab and I were doing a podcast where Ab says, you know, that atoms don't exist, you know, and it's like, you know, periodic table goes like right into the trash, you know.
Well, it's the atomic theory. It's a theory. It's a theory. The atomic theory. Yeah, go first.
I'm just saying the atomic table, I think, is perfectly valid for chemists and people to work with as far as the functionality of what they know about how physical matter behaves. But as far as the atomic theory, like Ab was saying, nobody's seen that in a way that can be really verified. So they can, it's like electricity. I don't think anybody really knows how it works, but we're using it every day.
Is the electron a theory? Is it the electron theory as well?
I think Unreal wanted to say something.
No, I just want to say something stupid. Like, we had this one guy that knew everything about electricity, but he's dead, and it was Nikola Tesla. So now we are helpless.
Yeah, he's very suspicious to me, too. He's very mythical and
he was the opponent of Edison at the time, and they were both constructed.
Right.
Xbox and PlayStation.
Exactly.
VHS and Betamax.
Yeah.
My concern is, how far do we go with this thinking? You know, like, I'm in South Korea, but I've never actually been to Japan. You know, I mean, can we say that maybe Japan? Yeah, maybe it's not there.
There is no Japan.
I can confirm that South Korea is here. But, you know, and that's how far do we go with that? You know, and that's my concern is, you know, how far do we take it? Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that. Oh, I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm jabbering over you. You talk, man.
Yeah, that's the problem with these chat rooms is that we're jumping all over each other. But one of my biggest worries, and I know you guys are going to laugh when I say this, and yes, I am worried about this. This just scares me, and that's Fukushima. Because I'm close enough to Fukushima to warm my hands by those exploding nuclear reactors.
Fukushima. Why?
Yeah, Simon calls it Fukushima.
Yeah,
what do you understand about the nuclear hoax, O'Hallahan? Nuclear bombs being fake, but what about the idea that when they exploded, you can't go, it's radioactive for ages and you can't go in there, so you can clear huge areas of land. What a fantastic con that could be.
Yeah, I listen to Jeff Rintz, unfortunately. Like a smoker, I'm trying to quit Jeff Rintz. But I can't seem to quit Jeff Rintz. Every time he's up on he's for download, I'm
Jeff Rintz,
grabbing it. Yeah, but Jeff Rintz has been pounding the drum on Fukushima, and he's had nuclear experts. Yoichi Shimatsu, and he's had a guy, Dana Durnford,
O'Hallahan, if nuclear bombs are contrived science, what do you think nuclear experts are?
I don't know, dude, but
I can tell you. If they are nuclear experts and they don't acknowledge that the fact that nuclear bombs don't exist, they are frauds.
Yeah, but right. I mean, unreal. I mean, why would Yoichi Shimatsu lie? I mean,
who is Yoichi Shimatsu?
He's paid.
No, he's not. He's an ex-nuclear. I think by education, he's a nuclear physicist, and he's worked in these nuclear plants for most of his life, and then he became a writer about the dangers of nuclear energy.
He sounds totally trustworthy.
So he's a friend of yours, in other words. You know him.
Yeah. No, I'm
but there's
just
nothing.
Saying.
There's and you're saying nothing challenge the premise of the whole idea that nuclear theory, including nuclear power and nuclear warheads, are real. There's nothing you've said. I agree there are nuclear power plants. I toured one. I agree there are thousands of people that work there because I've met them. But I bet you would be hard-pressed to find many people that have been in the secret room with the secret sauce, just like only one or two people allegedly know the Colonel's secret formula or Coca-Cola's secret formula. That doesn't mean that the whole company and the people working there aren't real. They are military controls nuclear everything around the world. You have to ask yourself why. Well, their answer is, of course, it's dangerous. But because the military is in control of it, then the information is similarly controlled.
But we are just questioning
the premise.
But, you know? And now you could add something to that, is the fact that they use the thesis, antithesis, in all their constructions. So once you have somebody that's going with the antithesis and it's been part of the thesis, it's just part of the same system. So these people are imposters.
Very important. Very important point. Yes. They control both sides of the argument. Go ahead, Farce. Let Farce speak.
O'Hallahan, just if you want to drop your address, your physical address in the chat, I'll send you my bottle of iodine tablets that I got when I first heard about Fukushima
and that's funny.
11.
I still take iodine. So. not necessary. I take it every day. I've got
really?
Huge bottles of Lugol's iodine. I take it every day.
you might be more afraid of that than the nuclear. Just check and make sure what the dosage of that is.
Come on, yeah. You need some help here.
That's funny.
O'Hala, you know what? You guys, a great exercise to debrief O'Hallahan would be to maybe go through the Cruise Forum thread and just read some posts and show O'Hallahan the fakery around the imagery about Fukushima. Really, SMJ, of course, is an expert in exposing the genesis of the nuclear theories and the players behind that whole story, which is now well over 100 years old, I believe. Really, we need to go through it and just show you all the shenanigans around the story, and maybe that will help shake you loose. You're getting a full dose of very professional programming from the agitators for nuclear, both sides. And really, it's very difficult to get a clear view when you're getting your daily dose of, well, in your case, iodine and Jeff Renz and all the people that are making you afraid of what we consider a mythical science and therefore mythical structures and mythical events. It's a very elaborate hoax, very elaborate, tons of money behind it. And
yep.
You could say we're delusional, but I don't think so. I think this fits all the fakeology around 9/11 that we've enjoyed and discussed. Go ahead.
The whole thing about this for me, the joy of this for me, really, and why I've got a passion for it and am interested in it, being around this site and these things, is that it's truly inspirational. You know, it's when you lose your fear. You lose your fear. That's the thing. Because if you are in fear, you can't think properly. You can't think straight. And that's exactly why the people in control on a broad scale do this broad brainwashing of the masses to control the masses. And it works.
And just as a side note, I was just listening to Jay Dyer with Chris Kendall on their call. And he actually said that he agreed that every footage of the nuclear bomb explosions, they were fake. But he thought that nuclear power was real because he had a nuclear power plant not far from him. So even really smart people, they are getting fooled by all the means put in place for us to believe in it. It's just like the building museums to solidify the belief in 9/11. They are building the nuclear centers to solidify their propaganda.
Hey guys, I have to run. I'm sorry. I want to say bye.
Guys that are in the fooling business, the guys that are in the deception business,
see you, Farce Valley. Nice talking to you.
Cool, Farce.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Farce. Take care. What I wanted to tell you is, and Unreal says this as well, that is, if it's something you cannot see with your six senses, and the sixth sense, of course, is balance, that always gets left out. But if you cannot detect something with your six senses, you can be sure that the people that rule over us will use that one can really counter it, except for them with their counter stories, because they always apply the Hegelian dialectic.
Oh, Ab, you're cutting out really bad.
See it. Oh, really?
Yeah, you're cutting out really bad. I'm only catching like every other word.
But you're getting onto a really important point, Ab, so...
Yeah, let me try again. How's it now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Better.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is, if it's something we can't see, the people that control us and the magicians that deceive us will use it and abuse it and change the story and really use it to control the masses. So we have electricity, we have nuclear, we have the atom theory, the electron theory. We have the carbon theory, where that's one of the most heavily exercised frauds to this day, where we're told that carbon release into the atmosphere, and they're not even calling it CO2 anymore. I think they've changed it to C6 or C16 or something like this. We're told that these industries that could produce these invisible gases, they need to be regulated, they need to be monetized, they need to be traded. and that's the latest invisible thing. And they control both sides of that argument.
Don't forget the universe.
All these instruments are used. Well, they monetize that? Is there an exchange for that? Yeah, of course, the universe. The heavens above. All we see is sparkling lights. They've just created the story behind all the sparkling lights. Yeah, we can see patterns in the stars, and we call them constellations. But we cannot see with our naked eye or with telescopes far beyond what we can just see. So everything else is imagination, and they can control that too. And people need to realize anything you cannot sense with your six senses, they are going to manipulate and try and create stories behind to monetize and control. And that's really the message I like to send out. Yes, the magic is science fiction. It's imagination. Their imagination versus yours.
I'm willing to believe there's a seventh sense, you know, an innate sense beyond that, you know, that you don't see with your eyes or your directly, but you take everything in and then you perceive it.
Yeah,
and that's a perception.
So when you think something's wrong, right? You sense something's wrong.
You can take everything in and just make a decision based on that. You know, from everything that's going on around, you instinctively perceive it. I don't.
But Tom, if you are
like
well
smelling
schooled, you are really distanced from that natural gift that we have to sense things in that way. So we are actually taught to not believe that sense and to be separated from it.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point. Absolutely, absolutely. Very good point. I just wanted to,
So when you know something's wrong, but you cannot put your finger on it. And a lot of us, I know I went through school, and I thought I was just being lazy or just being cognitively dissonant. But I just sensed that there was something wrong with a lot of the things I was being told, and I was not accepting of it. Therefore, I rejected it. It was very difficult to learn it when I was rejecting
it. Yeah, I'm with you on
that. And you could just say I was a lazy student, but I sensed something was wrong. We refused to memorize it, and we refused to go along with it. But, of course, we're there by the power of the law, mainly. We're not there by choice, for sure.
I know what you mean there. I know that sense of that. You get a sense of, this is bullshit. No. And you just can't, you haven't got the motivation to study it.
Yes, they have put a lot of words in the mouth of Einstein. There are, of course, a lot of good citations from him, because that's how they built his personality.
Or makes no sense or, yeah, yeah.
And some of the things he said is like, any fool can know, but it takes a bit more to understand something.
Yeah, you know,
we should really relieve you of your nuclear hangover.
Yeah, you know, guys, look, I'm a fan of Kayham, just like you guys are, you know, and when she gets on her podcast and she opens with, you know, if you listen to the mainstream media, we live in a world of terrorists and pandemics, but we know that that's not real. When she says that, my blood pressure drops. I love her too. But my question is, Jeff Rintz has no agenda other than, you know, making a profitable website and podcast. And Yoichi Shimatsu, he owns a coffee farm in Thailand these days. And Dana Durnford is just an ex-diver. I mean, he goes out and he's looking at the reefs off British Columbia, and he has no agenda. He's just coming back telling everyone that there's no sea life left.
But O'Hallahan, why do you have to rely on their reports? You should rely on your own logic too. And the logic says that if the nuclear bomb is not real, all this power plant stuff and nuclear plant stuff is also contrived. And the fact is that Japan did not lose all its electricity after they stopped all the nuclear power plants. They went on like as always.
Well,
I guess
on
an island too.
I guess there are ways of clearing fish from areas as well.
Well, I mean, guys, I don't, you know, like Unreal said, you know, I haven't actually been there to see it, and but my,
we'll be able to.
You know, yeah, but. But, Av, I mean, here's my question, is that, you know, a woman calls the police and accuses a man of rape. And, you know, if we don't believe her, that's denial of victim. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't question our story, but my counter to people that question her story is, why would she lie? You know, remember
lots
the woman. Yeah, remember the woman that came out and accused Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment before he was confirmed? You know, a lot of people were tearing her up because, you know, oh, she's coming out with sexual, you know, harassment allegations just before he's confirmed.
Now that you mention that, that might have been a form of public humiliation. Maybe he's a Mason and that was part of a ritual. Because I remember listening to that on the radio. That was broadcast on the radio. That was a mainstream media story event. And I'm glad you brought it up because I do question that. Well, the story itself was pretty lame, but they made it into such a highly promoted event. You have to ask why. Again, nothing happened anyway.
Yeah, but Ab, I mean, why would this woman lie about that? I don't know. I mean, you know, again, call me naive.
Why would O.J. lie about killing his wife?
Yeah.
Why would he go along with that?
Ab, if you're going to ask me a question, you got to let me answer the goddamn question. O.J. had an agenda, and the agenda is he didn't want to get convicted of murder, right? This woman who came out accusing Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment had no agenda, I think, other than just trying to expose that a guy who's getting very, very close to the Supreme Court is a dirtbag. You know, you've got to question the motivation, in my opinion.
Well, I'm not sure if you understand the whole thrust of fakeologist.com, and that is we understand the media is not on our side. The media is put there to shape the herd and move the herd in directions. The fact that that was a highly promoted media event makes you wonder who is real and who is an actor, in the sense who is put there to create a media event and who's there on their own organically. And I don't think most organic situations ever, ever make it to the top of the media and stay there like that one did. So I think really, if we could give you any message, is that the media is not on your side. It's used to control and manipulate you. And there are no exceptions to that thesis in my mind at all.
Yeah.
And you have to reverse, go through history and apply that thesis all the way through, and then look for problems with the story, and you'll find them.
Yeah, Ab, actually, yeah, I do understand that. And I was just using the Clarence Thomas, and I forget that woman's name, but I was just using the Clarence Thomas thing as an example.
It was Anita Baker or Anita Hill?
Anita Hill, yeah. I think it was Anita Hill. But, I understand. I understand what you're saying. And actually, yeah, I'm actually in agreement with that position, that what we hear from the mainstream media is probably more than 90% garbage. Does Jeff Rintz have an agenda? You know, is he a big media guy? I don't know. I mean,
oh,
I guess
Hallahan, have you seen his picture?
His picture? You mean the actual physical picture of
his fake hair and his, contrived personality? I mean,
unreal. Are you trying to tell me that his hair is a wig? Is that what you're saying?
Of course it is. I mean, he looks as staged as you can make a staged comedian, you know?
Oh, my God. His hair is not a wig. I've seen real pictures of that guy.
Have you pulled on it?
There are real pictures of that guy.
My theory for all these people that are gatekeepers is like they put on a very characteristic personality to be recognized online, and when they go off the grid, they take off their fake hair and fake mustaches and cowboy hats and cowboy boots, and they'd be quite normal, and we wouldn't recognize them like many in the alternative media. They have such extravagant profiles that they are suspicious for having made them just to be anonymous when they're not playing the role.
Oh, my God. Guys, it just struck me that I think that we actually qualify as nihilists, right?
Yeah, we don't believe in anything.
We believe in nothing. Yeah, the movie The Big Lebowski, you know, yeah, we are nihilists. We believe in nothing. I love that movie. But, I just realized
that. That was another movie that I was told that was so great and wonderful. And I go to see a lot of these heavily promoted movies that are supposed to be just so different and strange and odd, and that's what makes them charming and wonderful. And they always hit me with a big thud. I never got that movie at all.
Well, it was supposed to be a story of an anti-hero, which, you know, it, taken for what it's supposed to be, it succeeded wildly. I don't know. It's one of my favorite movies. It is kind of pointless, The Big Lebowski. When you get down to Yoichi Shimazu, who's a nuclear expert, I have to throw that, you know, that qualifier in there, supposedly, you know, because Unreal is correct.
But you should be cautious once you hear expert, actually, because expert, it means like it's an appeal to authority, you know. So at once you have somebody that's presented as an expert in anything, be cautious, because it just means that you should stop thinking and you should start listening, and that's not a good sign knowing anything.
Yeah.
True. I agree with that. That's very good.
Yeah, but
expert,
I mean,
expert is code to shut off your brain.
Exactly, yeah. And you learn that since we are small in school, and that's very effective.
Yeah.
Shut off your brain.
Some peanut butter ice cream, and it's totally real, O'Halloran, and it's delicious.
And actually, I am very convinced of media fakery. I think that's the most real thing between me and reality, media fakery. It is real. And culture creation by the intelligence agencies, real. All real concepts. They're all very real. They're very abstract. They're very hard for the average person to understand because they're not widely publicized. They don't put the playbook out. You're constantly just seeing the results of these very real things that are occurring. You see representatives. Those are all put there by a very real force. And it's just not documented anywhere or discussed. Real evidence of all of their fake stories every day. And every story that's promoted, you have to pick apart carefully and try and figure out why. You're asking why, which is a good question. Why would Jeff Renz be doing that every day? Why? Well, who would go out to scare people every single day? Like, I wouldn't do it. You'd have to be paid for that, paid pretty well. Scaring people is not a very human thing to do.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't, you know, I mean, he's just reporting, you know, and I'm putting this in quotations, I'm making air quotes, he's just reporting reality, right? I mean, we live in a scary place, you know.
I don't live in a scary place. I don't feel I live in a scary place at all.
Oh, my God, guys. Come on.
You're outed, O'Halloran. You're the only scared person here.
I live in a wonderful place. The scariest thing for me is when it snows and it's icy and I might drive my car off the road. That's all I'm scared about.
But Ab, I just saw that you can also be a bit scared about the...
But I'm happy. I'm safe.
I also saw that you can be a bit more relaxed about the curvature over that lake close to you.
Well, I see that every weekend. I see that picture. I look across. I see the skyline. And I see everything. I don't have a zoom lens. Maybe one day I was going to pull over and rent a zoom lens, but someone just did that. I believe that video to be true because I do see most of that with the naked eye on clear days. And I don't know how to explain that other than what that guy said.
Well, it's nice you posted that because I did a little bit on the concave earth thread when I looked at the flat earth, and I did post something from the 33 miles it said across in Toronto there, and I used just that view, that example. And it was, and I loved it. I loved it. I'd been there. I'd been on those beaches. You've got those nice skimming stones, I seem to remember, those round ones, flat round ones on the beach there. I loved it. They were great for skimming. And, yeah, you look across there. It's a fantastic example. And I think if you had a strong enough lens, you zoom in, you can go beach to beach across that kind of stretch of water. It's as simple as that. I mean, that film you
Well, we know water is flat. Water is flat, right? I'm pretty sure.
And if Absolutely. It doesn't bend over 30 miles, I mean, when does it start to bend?
Yeah, and it's a lovely example of what the way the horizon, the first image, I think the first, as the video you posted sort of starts, begins, there's the image of the sort of the way horizon rises to your eye line. It looks like a wall. It's weird, really. And hadn't you always kind of thought that when you looked out of water, that there's something weird going on? It kind of seems to go, and you excuse it by saying, well, it must be going over kind of the hump of the earth, the curve of the earth. But it seems to be this effect, that Samuel Rotenbottom described, this vanishing point, the true vanishing point, infinity, impossible for you to see, and your eyes recalibrate by fixing a lower point of perspective, and it puts up a wall. Sorry to go through this thing again, but I know you've heard it before.
If I'm going through my memory, I don't think I've ever seen a curve over water. I've just never seen a curve. I've only been told about it. I've never seen it, so I've just been told about it. That's it.
Did you guys catch the last John Lebon podcast, Baller Skeptic?
Yes, with Mike. I watched his videos on the beach.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was golden. I listened to it twice. I thought Mike was great.
Yes, he was very real sounding.
Yeah. I have been on to this this flat Earth thing for about 2 years. And I started out with concave Earth, just like Dal was saying. I was on the Wild Heretic site 2 years ago, and I love the idea of flat Earth. And I 2 years ago when I tried to talk to people about flat Earth, man, did I get laughed at. But still, the same questions persist. You know, why is it that you can see, you know, a building 30, 40, 50 miles away? You know, you zoom in on it with a telescope and it has not fallen below the spherical horizon. Why? Why can't you see
that? The only thing that persists is the fact that we still have a strong belief in authority, and that we try to believe in the fact that they say that light is bending and all that stuff. But if we go through all the evidence we have that it's not bending and that we are not spinning, it's like a closed case. It's like we are not spinning, and the Earth is mostly flat. And if it's roundish, it must be so immensely huge. It's like we have no idea how huge it is. But for now, it's not a sphere, and it's not the spinning.
I mean, even Neil deGrasse Tyson comes out a couple of months ago, and he says, you know, that the Earth is not really a ball. It's kind of pear-shaped. And, I got to tell you, what an asshole that guy is. Yeah, I mean,
pear-shaped, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, literally. Is he not smart enough to remember that NASA has got about, a billion, remade pictures of this Apollo mission, Ball Earth? I mean, is he not smart enough to remember this? You know, it's ridiculous. In my opinion, that flat Earth and ball Earth is definitely the best example of media fakery.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson is either stupid or paid. I go with paid.
I go with both.
I think he just loves fruit.
Oh, guys, my wife just
Maybe
woke
he
up.
Eats
guys,
fruit.
Guys, I'll just give me a couple minutes and I'll be back to the headset. My wife just woke up and I
Maybe
just want
we'll
to
make
say
her
good
coffee.
To her. Yeah, hold on, guys. That's exactly what I was going to do. Give me a minute or two.
Oh, he makes her a lovely husband, doesn't he? Making her a cup of coffee.
All right, I'm just stepping. I just pulled into my driveway, guys. So I'll bid you good night for a little bit while I dine.
It makes sense. Yeah, cheers, Ab. Two nights on the trot. It's, and there's Unreal again. Yeah, there's with three of us. Yeah.
I'm trying
nice
to keep the schedule alive. By being
nice
on board and annoying everybody every night.
Catch you later, Tim.
Well, no, it's okay. You guys are doing great. You guys can carry a conversation. I listen to it. So there's lots to talk about. Just go to the blog if you run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, thanks, Ab. Have a good night.
Yeah, take care, guys. Carry on. If you're still here and when later, I might visit again. But you guys are doing great. Keep it up.
Thanks.
And then, Tom, good comments. Comments, Tom. You're keeping the comment section going.
Am I? Where's that? Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm with you now. Yeah. Cheers. As long as you're on board.
Yeah, more people should comment. Yeah, more people should comment like you do. It's fine. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate the conversation at all, you know, the resort of sanity, really. Lovely. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I see you commented on the thread with the Beatles or the Cheatles and Suzanne Somers.
Yes. That's Richard Benedict made a reply, and he commented on our audio, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I was absolutely. I have read Richard Benedict's things before, and the first post he made on the site was some nonsense about the Beatles, the Cheatles, as he calls them, I think, being replaced in 1964 or something, all of them. And then very soon he got into stuff about John Lennon in a rubber mask, and then all this celebrity replacement stuff, which it goes into Dallas Goldbug territory almost for me, really. And it's just, I think it's disinformation. I'll call that out straight away. I thought from the first post he made, it was disinformation. So he tried to get on board again when we talked about the Beatles, we talked about the music. And there were some ideas that you said that I wasn't sure about, and I wasn't necessarily disagreeing with you, but I think there's an area that's been trying to be hijacked by disinfo, certainly. And that's the feeling I get, being a musician and getting a sense of this.
But you're also very close to the matter, so it's hard to get a distance big enough for you to be objective somehow. It's a bit subjective to you.
Well, that's a presumption on your part. You don't know that.
Regarding, you say you have a lot of respect for these people and that they have been idols of yours, so it does mean that you have emotions tied to them, so it does make it more difficult to be objective.
Yes, I do agree, and I said that last night, didn't I? I said that, you know, I've grown up with these stories. I did say that. So, yes, I'm very aware of that. But still, I'm taking that on board, and still I'm being cautious. You know, I really don't think some of these claims are outrageous, you know. Richard Benedict's claims are outrageous.
I'm not so familiar with Richard Benedict as to know everything he has been proposing. I did look at those video clips, and I had a hard time to make anything certain out of it.
Yeah, no, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. That's what I'm kind of telling you. It's bullshit. I mean, of course, one has to come to his own conclusions, but yeah, that's what I fully feel about that. But no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I thought it's a very interesting line of conversation. You could tell me things I didn't know, you know, get my mind open to it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I know at all, and I may well be sort of too close to it, but at the same time, I have a real sense of these replacement things with Paul McCartney, I'm very dubious about that. Very dubious.
But what do you think about what Ab has been talking about, Michael Jackson, that some of his appearances and the fact that he changed his style so much to be nearly unrecognizable in his natural appearance, that obviously must be the fact that they have changed the person a couple of times. What do you think about that angle?
Okay, I hadn't even heard it before, really. That Michael Jackson it wasn't plastic surgery, it was changing person.
Yeah, so it's like we do see a pattern that they actually use this kind of tactics for every, you know, big name performer, etc. And I think it's reasonable.
Could Michael Jackson not have just had a load of plastic surgery? Or maybe not, I totally agree, maybe not, you know, but. Because you're almost jumping to a conclusion, I feel, there, that you really think he was a changed character.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Ab, and I think that the story with his hair burning and his all his operations that needed to do, and the fact that he looked completely weird after some time, and how he died, how it was so much... ridiculous things about when he died and stuff.
That doesn't prove that he was a different character the way he died. There's all sorts of strange things going on with him, without doubt. But I'm quite happy to believe he was this. You see, you've got to dance like that, you know. I'm not sure you can dance like Michael Jackson with just a replacement guy, you know. I'm sure you can get close, but I don't know. Sing and dance like that. He had talent, you know. He was weird, I give you that. And without doubt, without doubt, the hidden hands there. The checkered board of the 9/11 foreshadowing of his previous album. And he might even still be alive. He's faked his death, probably, hasn't he? And he's going around wearing a mask.
That's exactly what I was going to go to, in the sense that as he has obviously some really big concerns about his death, it means that he was part of some kind of program. So it's just a question about what that program was. But I think we can agree on the fact that he was on a program, whether it be him being several persons, only one person or not, but he was part of some program and they did exit him and they did use him to launch their different agendas on different levels.
Yes, I think we can agree on that. The
so in that sense, it means that also the Beatles were actually part of the system and part of the general strategy. So,
well, but hold on. Now let's get a point clear here before we jump to that the Jacksons, were they not a family with an ambitious father, ruthless ambitious father who kind of, you know, wanted his children to do well, and then once they got into Berry Gordy's office. Was the hand not there then coming in? But do you know what I mean? They weren't invented completely. They were a talented group before. I'm asking the question, while I don't know.
Yeah, I think that there are lots of talented groups and people in many places, and that the ones that actually get very famous, they are picked and they are used in a specific way by people that has the position to promote their work and to have them be popular. And I think it's easy to make somebody popular by playing their songs over and over again. And if on top of that you have some people to try to insert some mind tricks into their rhythms and music and musicology, then it's get even stronger and more hypnotic. And I think that's what they do when they launch groups and promote groups. They always try to get some message in and make them be part of some kind of a movement, be it to make us sexually,
Yeah, I mean, this is the music we like. I mean, this comes from primal stuff. Rock and roll came from primal natural rhythms. You leave people around for long enough, they won't have any contact with any mainstream media or anything, but they'll be banging along and having rhythms and going, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, it's the rhythm of life. So, you know, we're talking about very natural, organic things in that sense. I don't know what my point is. Sorry, you Unreal.
I guess I'm more of the opinion that they use music to move their general plans of the development of a society, and they would promote different kind of music to different periods to make those shifts happen. And I think that's how jazz came about, how rock came about, how house music came about, and how rap music came about. And you can see a constant progression of what they are promoting with these types of music.
I sometimes think that some primal rhythms sell, you know, so they're just good anyway. We do want to dance, so they're using that. They just hijack it. They hijack nature. That's what we're looking at, hijacking nature. But they have to have good nature, you know. Michael Jackson was brilliantly talented kid with a wonderful voice. You can't invent that. Do you see what I mean? They've hijacked them.
Well, if you look at all the different TV shows they have now with to discover talent, you actually see that there are loads of young people with great voices and ability to mimic whatever song and whatever music in a quite astonishing way. So I don't think his talent is I think it's enormous, but I think there are many people with enormous talent.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with you with that, but I don't know. What am I trying to say? I think I'm not arguing with you, really. I just think that...
No, we're just discussing around the music business, and it's healthy.
Yes, good. That's all. I wanted to make sure that that's how it comes
across. Oh, no, I'm not... I think it's good that we have different opinions. Otherwise, it would be hard to, you know, get
Thrash
something...
It out. Yeah. Well, that's yeah, absolutely. But it's good for me as well. Yeah.
When you look back on history and you see how they always have constructed these geniuses, you can also say that Michael Jackson and other people in the music industry, they are part of this construction of geniuses, which actually also it reinforces our belief in authority, in the sense that we must acknowledge that there are some people that has things that we don't have, and that we should just shut up and let them sing or let them do what they do.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Well, if you look at the research made into Mozart and Shakespeare and everything, you can see that those are most probably contrived figures. When you look at people like Edison and Tesla, they are most probably contrived figures. So, in a sense, we have so many examples put in front of us that are made to be so good and so powerful that we just have to fall back and accept that we cannot be good enough for this, and that we should just listen to what they do and what they say. And it reinforces the same position of us being passive and letting the propaganda take a place in our minds.
Yeah, I think well said, really. I think. My thought is what we're looking at here is more like it's the minutiae of scientific dictatorship, that they will try and put atonal patterns in music, and everything will be, because it can be. You can trim everything up. You can every detail must be looked after. So yes, and at the same time, I think natural things are to dance and to play music, and so natural good things are used, you know, and hijacked all the time.
I agree.
You know, it's a positive message I'm trying to hang on to, really. And I think I do hang on to it because, yeah.
I don't
really
agree with the positive message, but I do agree that they don't make something out of nothing. So at the base, as you say, they are looking for somebody they can use to propagate their agendas. And when they get people that are talented, they know they have an easier job of making this very convincing for the people, you know?
Yes, yes.
So that is where I think that you can see the talent that was there, and that's what you appreciate. And as I'm less into the emotions of the music business as it is now, I more see the people behind and how they manipulate that talent, you know?
Oh, guys, I'm back.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Hey, guys.
Okay, Unreal. Yeah, I mean, you always impress me with your second language there, Unreal, and not bad in English. You made a coffee for the wife, O'Hallahan.
Yeah, I talked to my wife for a few minutes. You know, the problem is that when it's prime time for you guys, it's early in the morning here, and I wind up waking up the whole house when I chat with you guys. That's why I kind of resist the temptation to hop on chat. Every once in a while, I get so bored, I just can't stand it anymore. And so I log on to TeamSpeak. But,
You've been quite regular lately. You had an audio with Rolo the other day, didn't you?
I got to tell you that I love talking to you guys. You know, I found Rolo the other day, and my wife loves Rolo. You love Rolo. Yes, you do. I've been talking to Rolo and talking to you guys is great. For years, 10 years I've been in Korea and listening to these podcasts from the other side of the planet, and I've had no one to talk to about these things, and so it's great to be able to talk to you guys. And
When you speak to Koreans, do you feel that they are even further away to get awakened by this these subjects, or how do you feel that? Do you think that there is hope for them?
The ones that I speak to are, first of all, my Korean language skills are only survival level, you know, skills. Like, I can ask for the bathroom. But the ones that I know are semi-fluent. I'm a teacher, and so I talk to other teachers. But the ones that I talk to are completely asleep. They don't understand. any of these things that are going on. They're too busy working. You know,
I think also that it can be very impressive to have to comply to the Western culture too, don't you think?
Explain that. What do you mean by that?
Well, every other part of the world, they are now subjected to the Western culture with the mass media that we have developed over hundreds of years, and that's coming full power onto them now, and they just have to get busy and get into the game somehow, get onto Facebook, get onto, you know, every modern thing that we have developed over a longer period of time. They have to somehow adapt to in a much shorter period of time. So for them to be able to digest all this is probably even harder.
I got to tell you, Unreal, that I totally agree with that, and that is a topic that causes me stomach acid. You know, the loss of real Korea. Korea is a beautiful place, but they have embraced this idea of capitalism, this Western idea of money, and, you know, going out and getting a job, and it's just absolutely ruining, you know, what I consider to be the real Korea. And yeah.
Well, we talked a bit with Fars Value on this subject in the beginning of the chat here, and the fact is that what's happening when Western media and Western culture is promoted, it's an overdevelopment of the ego. So they lose their natural ties with their family and their history somehow.
Yeah, I mean, the same aberration is happening in Korea that's happening all over the world, is that their Korean culture is becoming diluted, and you know, they're eating, you know, junk food, and they're watching junk television, and you know, Americans are beginning to come out of it. You know, they're beginning to wake up to the mess that they've made. You know, because they've had to deal with it for so long. You know, they've watched their 401ks evaporate, and you know, Americans have been to the puppet show for so many years that we're beginning to figure it out that it's a puppet show. But
I don't know about that. I feel like Americans, they are still a young nation in many ways, and I feel like all this is quite new to them too. And when you look at the general population in the United States, they have no clue about many things. I think they are less knowledgeable than regular Europeans, for instance.
Well, I mean, that could be. I mean, I don't know. You know, when you say, you know, general Americans, I don't know who you're talking about. I mean, I'm almost 52 years old, and I only know a handful of people. I mean, this is a mistake my father used to make. When I was a kid, I used to ask my father questions. My father would say, I know people, and this is the way it really is. And actually, when you think, you know, I mean, now I'm 52 years old, thinking about what my father used to say when he was 35. And I can honestly tell you that my father didn't know shit. You know, he had a handful of friends, just like everyone else knows, and he was broad stroking, you know, these ideas, you know, tainted by his own prejudices, like we all do. So I don't know general Americans, you know, the only Europeans that I know are you guys, you know, with very few exception. And I don't know what the average European thinks, but, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we're slipping into a world, you know, homogenization, I guess. You know, and I hate to admit this, but I'm one of the fans of the UFC, this cage fighting stuff, right? And I hate to admit that. It's a really, me of all people, I know that it's the return of the Coliseum, that it's bread and circuses, but I seem to be captivated by it anyway. But, you know, you watch the Irish with Conor McGregor, you know, and, I'm Irish. I'm, you know, by heritage, I'm Irish, and you know, to watch the bloodlust of the Irish people, you know, screaming as Conor McGregor is beating the living daylights out of somebody, you know, in a way, it's exciting, and on another level, on a higher level, it's like, oh my God, you know, I mean, we're so fully into it, you know.
I guess that would be soccer for us in Europe. And I must say, me too, I used to follow a lot of soccer games myself.
Yeah, the soccer hooligans.
Yep.
You know, yeah, that's an interesting phenomenon. You could write a PhD paper on that for sure.
Yeah, the thing in England where they we had that in the 70s. It was really quite bad in the 80s. It got into the 80s. It was still hooliganism. And then they were using it in various kind of right-wing groups were sort of controlled by being, you know, associated with football and things. But then they gentrified. They had this thing called Hillsborough, which is a big stage event where loads of people were supposed to have got crushed in the stadium. And it was a huge media event. It was shocking, you know, sort of like 96 people were supposed to have been died, crushed to death, kids and everything. And then that was a big sign-up, which led to the gentrification of football. And now, you know, it's more of a family thing. The seats are really quite expensive. And we've got all-seater stadiums. They converted all stadiums. You know, it was a good contract and rebuilt a lot of stadiums. Sorry, just sidetracked a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, you're going, just a heads up, you're going a little bit robot voice. I don't know if you can correct that, but the last riff that you went on was a little bit robot voice. I only caught a little bit of it.
Yeah, I hear.
Yeah, we're in robot voice, I think. Yeah.
Am I cutting up too when I speak?
Yeah. Oh, unreal. Is it me? You guys are all robot voice now.
You're cutting up on my end at least too, Ohala. So I guess you are all getting some bad sample up here then.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, it's best you don't talk about that then.
Yeah. It's the revenge of the music industry. So.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to reboot
the music industry. Yeah, it will come clear again then. All right, we get the message. Yeah, we'll go back to that something else.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to reboot this program. It could be me. So just give me a minute. I'm going to close out TeamSpeak and reboot it. I'll be right back.
Well, hello. Test. Testing one. Testing two.
Do you think that it's one of the users that makes us all be choppy?
I can't even understand what you're saying.
Me neither. I'll try to disconnect too and reconnect.
If you go out and come back, okay?
Yeah.
I'll stay here, maybe. How's it sound, Han?
Oh, God.
How's it sound, brother?
It's still robot voice. Good grief.
Same here. Okay, mate. Well, I might take the opportunity to leave then. I think if it doesn't, I'll come back later, check later or something maybe. But I think it sounds like it's gone weird.
Yeah, I'm very good though. Yeah, real. Unreal, say something. See,
I'm speaking now. Yeah,
take care.
Yeah, you guys
I'm going to log out. See you later.
Yeah, see you later. Yeah, I guess Unreal, we might as well just, for some reason, I'm only getting every other word you're saying. I don't know why. The sound quality went down. Yeah, we might as well just bail on it at this point.
Yeah, it was very shocky when we started the call, and now it's getting shocky again. So it must be something with the streaming capacity of the program itself, I guess. Something with their servers, maybe?
Yeah, you know, if you want to pick it up again on Skype, you're more than welcome. I'll put my my Skype into live chat. And I'm always on Skype, and it's pretty clear. So if you want to... I'm on Skype. Hold on. I'll type out my Skype address into the chat.
Okay.
Yeah. There it is. If you want to keep going with the conversation, just grab me on Skype, Unreal.
Yeah, I think I'm going to call it out, actually, because it's starting to get late here. It's 1:30 in the morning.
Yep. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you again. Thank you for the great conversation. Good.
It'll be a great pleasure, and I wish you a good start of the day in South Korea.
Okay. All right, take care.
Yeah, you too, and nice speaking. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Late Night with Kay, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.